Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and there are new developments in the plan to open a Muslim-run mosque and cultural center in one of the buildings damaged on 9/11. The plan is for a 13-story community center to include a gym with a pool, a theater, conference rooms, and sports facilities, as well as a public memorial to the victims of 9/11 and a meditation room open to anyone for quiet reflection. The center would be created by Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf and his wife, Daisy Khan, who we'll speak with in a minute. They are with the Sufi branch of Islam, known as distinctly non-radical and peace-loving. They compare the cultural life that they want to create at the center to the 92nd Street Y on the Upper East Side. Mayor Bloomberg is among those supporting the project. The local community board has also approved it, despite loud outcries from some who oppose the idea of any kind of formal Islamic presence around Ground Zero and questions about the individuals. But here are some of the new developments since we spoke with Imam Faisal and Ms. Khan on the show a few months ago. Opponents of the center are finding statements and organizational ties that they say call into question Imam Faisal's reputation as a moderate and a bridge builder. They include an article by him on Huffington Post last year defending Sharia law and his involvement in the Perdana Global Peace Organization, a key funder of the Free Gaza Peace Flotilla that clashed with Israeli commandos at sea last month. In the last few days, Republican gubernatorial candidate Rick Lazio has used these reports to make the center an issue in his campaign against Democrat Andrew Cuomo. He wants Cuomo as attorney general to investigate the center's funding sources. Cuomo and Mayor Bloomberg, as we'll hear in a minute, have denounced the call as religious bigotry because there is no allegation of criminal activity that would normally trigger an attorney general to investigate. And in a separate development, CBS and NBC are refusing to air a TV commercial against the center by a political action committee called the National Republican Trust. That ad says, in part, on September 11th, they declared war on us, and to celebrate that murder of 3,000 Americans, they want to build a monstrous 13-story mosque at Ground Zero. Politico.com quotes NBC on why they rejected the ad. NBC said, quote, "An ad questioning the wisdom of building a mosque at Ground Zero would meet our issues of public controversy advertising criteria, but this ad, which ambiguously defines they as referenced in the spot, makes it unclear as to whether the reference is to terrorists or the Islamic religious organization that is sponsoring the building of the mosque. Consequently, the ad is not acceptable under our guidelines for broadcast," unquote, from NBC. Here is a little bit of the rejected ad, which we found online. Here is the particular language being debated.
On September 11th, they declared war against us. And to celebrate that murder of 3,000 Americans, they want to build a monstrous 13-story mosque at Ground Zero.
And again, the NBC statement said this ad, which ambiguously defines they as referenced in that clip, makes it unclear as to whether the reference is to terrorists or the Islamic religious organization that is sponsoring the building of the mosque. Consequently, the ad is not acceptable under our guidelines for broadcast. By the way, the political action committee behind the ad, the National Republican Trust, is not affiliated with the Republican Party, according to the BBC. Here are clips of candidate Lazio, candidate Cuomo, and Mayor Bloomberg on the issue of an attorney general's investigation. Lazio first, then the mayor, then Cuomo.
Imam in charge of the mosque, Faisal Abdul Rauf, has refused to acknowledge on numerous occasions the sources of the money that has been used both to purchase this land and potentially to build what is expected or what is proposed to be a $100 million mosque.
The government should never, never be in the business of telling people how they should pray or where they can pray.
I have not heard of any evidence of criminality. But if there's a criminal case, there's a criminal case. If it's, I don't like this religion, and I don't like this religion on this block, or I don't like this religion in this city, then I agree with Mayor Bloomberg. Then I agree with the community board that approved the mosque. What are we about if not religious freedom? What is the country about if not religious freedom? What is the state about if not religious freedom?
So that's the politics of the moment around the center. We'll talk now with Daisy Kahn, executive director and co-founder of the American Society for Muslim Advancement. She is the wife of Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf and partner with him in the plan to develop the cultural center. Thanks for coming on again, Daisy. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
What's your reaction to the back and forth between the politicians about this?
I think it's very important because we are living at a critical time in our nation's history where, you know, the faith of Islam is seen as a national security threat. But it's important to also remember, and this is what the politicians are reminding us of, is that Islam's struggle in this country is the same as the struggle of religions that came before us. It is one of acceptance.
I want to go over with you some of the reporting of the last month that Mr. Lazio based his questions and statements on and get your specific responses to these things. An article in the New York Post last month said, quote, "The imam behind a proposed mosque near Ground Zero is a prominent member of a group that helped sponsor the pro-Palestinian activists who clashed violently with Israeli commandos at sea this week. Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf is a key figure in Malaysian-based Perdana Global Peace Organization, according to its website. Perdana is the single biggest donor, $366,000 so far, to the Free Gaza Movement, a key organizer of the six-ship flotilla that tried to break Israel's blockade of the Hamas-run Gaza Strip. 9 passengers aboard the largest ship died in clashes with Israeli commandos." So that from the New York Post. Is the imam a prominent member of that group?
Absolutely not. The imam was invited to a conference amongst 1,000 other people, and his name obviously is there because he is seen as a prominent imam from America, and he has no affiliation other than he was a guest at a conference, a peace conference held by Perdana Group.
Do you have a position on Perdana in general and its, actual peace-loving status or anything about it?
I actually know nothing about Perdana, and all I know is that they are a prominent group in Malaysia that holds these conferences. I don't know how frequently they do them, but this was almost, I don't know how many years ago, but it was well over 3 years ago that he attended this conference amongst many other scholars, Muslim and non-Muslim, from all over the world. So, and all he did was he presented at the conference on the importance of peace building.
So he's not on the board. He and you don't donate money to
Absolutely
this organization?
Not. We have no other affiliation other than he was a guest at the conference.
The Post also ran an article about the imam refusing in a radio interview last month to state that Hamas is a terrorist organization. It says, asked if he agreed with the State Department's assessment, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf told WABC Radio, "Look, I'm not a politician. The issue of terrorism is a very complex question. There was an attempt in the 90s to have the UN define what terrorism is and say who was a terrorist. There was no ability to get that agreement. Asked again for his opinion on Hamas and exasperated, Rauf wouldn't budge," the article says, and quotes him again, "I am a peace builder. I will not allow anybody to put me in a position where I am seen by any party in the world as an adversary or an enemy, insisting that he wants to see peace in Israel between Jews and Arabs." Does that sound like an accurate report, Daisy, on that interview?
No, it is actually completely inaccurate because I think if you just look at the imam's history and his own work, he has dedicated his life to peace building. And he's right. He does not want to be put in a position where he's condemning any side because he works with both sides to bring peace. But I can tell you his position on Hamas is very clear. I live with the man. And he hates the actions of terrorists, whether it's Hamas or any other group in the entire world. And this is why he has built, you know, a Cordoba initiative so that he could come up with the right kind of programs that will address the issue of violence in Muslim communities. And he considers himself to be, you know, against extremism of all forms. And it was unfortunate that this one interviewer caught him at a time when he was literally taking a trip out the door and he was exasperated. But I can tell you his position is very clear, and this is why he has received the support of so many Jewish groups and so many Christian groups is because he's committed to this. There he is on the honorary committee of One Voice Group, which is building peace between Palestinians and Israelis. And so one has to just look at his record to see that he is against terrorism, always has been against terrorism, and in fact our organizations are working on, you know, rooting out the extremists. That is what the center is meant to also be, an amplifier for the moderate Muslim voice, so that extremists do not steal the agenda away from the entire Muslim community.
Do he and you stick by a refusal to label Hamas a terrorist organization as the State Department does?
I think I will personally, I have no problem with condemning them, as I personally think that they commit acts of terror, and I know that he does too.
Mr. Lazio is asking for an accounting of your finances, and he notes that your group to this point has had a very small budget historically, no history of big expenditures or investment, but now a $100 million commitment for the Cultural Center project. And so he's asking, where is the money coming from?
Actually, just like any other campaign, when somebody is running for campaign, you begin a fundraising campaign. We have not begun the capital campaign for this project as of yet. The property was purchased by Soho Properties. Everybody's aware of that. That was, the Sharif Al-Gamal actually presented that at the Landmarks meeting and clarified that position. And how we raise the $100 million is whether we are looking at particular bonds, we are looking at institutions, we are looking at private donors. It's going to be a mix of funding sources that will put this project together. We have not begun the campaign yet. And more importantly, because there is a concern about transparency and scrutiny, we will be working with the Charities Bureau to ensure that what we are doing is correct and that it's in compliance. So we are not planning to hide anything from anyone.
Have you raised some money so far? Did you have to put $5 million down for the land or something like that?
No, we did not. No, the property was purchased by Soho Properties.
So you just have not started raising any substantial amounts of money yet at all?
No, we have not begun the campaign because we were waiting for the landmarks meeting to all the milestones, because the scope of the project will define the kind of funding that is required.
Daisy Khan is my guest on WNYC, Executive Director and Co-Founder of the American Society for Muslim Advancement. She is the wife of Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf and partner with him in the plan to develop an Islamic cultural center that they say will be an interfaith center near Ground Zero. Another thing that candidate Lazio said was, quote, any plan to bring Sharia law to America, and that is what this imam has expressly said he wants to do, is entirely inconsistent with religious freedom, unquote. Does he want to bring Sharia law to America?
Well, it's ironic that this has become such a big issue, and once again, I think it's an issue of ignorance, but Sharia law is already in this country. Sharia law just simply means that Muslims who want to pray and fast and give charity are allowed to do so, and it is very much in keeping with the religious freedoms that we have. So in some ways, Sharia law is already here. We don't have to bring anything to this country, and I think it's just a lot of misinformation, ignorance, and I think that a lot of misunderstanding about this issue. But this is a nuanced issue. It's complex in the sense that what people are, you know, the issues that they are throwing at the imam require an in-depth discussion, and we can have this discussion with other religious leaders. You know, certainly Jewish leaders understand what this means, but the general public just assumes that Sharia law means stonings and other types of things, and of course that will not happen because Muslims have to, by law, by Islamic law, have to adhere to the law of the land, which is our constitution.
So say again why you think we already have Sharia law in the United States that just involves the ability to make charitable contributions, or tell us what you said?
No, it means that Muslims have five things that they are required to do to be a Muslim. And the one is to declare their faith, which we have the freedom to do in this country. We can say anything. We can be a Muslim. We can convert. And we can opt out. And second is that we are required to pray, which we do. We're allowed to. Nobody is compelling us not to pray. We have to give charity, which we do privately, whichever institution we want to give it to. We can go to Hajj. We have have to go to Hajj once in our lifetime, which any of us can fly out of this country. We're not prevented from doing
that. To go to Mecca.
To go to Mecca for once in your lifetime. And then we have to fast during Ramadan, which we do. And, you know, it's coming up. Ramadan is coming up on August 15th. So all these five things that Muslims have to do in accordance, you know, for them to be Sharia compliant is already happening in America.
But then what you're saying is Sharia law is nothing more than civic law that allows Muslims to practice their religion.
Precisely.
But certainly Sharia law, if you look at Taliban rule or Iran or Saudi Arabia, is a lot more than that in terms of things that people have to do, correct?
Yes, there are the principles and then there are the penal codes, what people are focusing on and what the fear is that people are talking about is some of the penal code punishments which happen in countries like Afghanistan as an example, you know, amputating people and stonings. And of course that's never going to come to America because we have our laws that you know, we have to follow the constitution of this country.
I think Lazio was referring to an article that the imam wrote on Huffington Post in April of last year, headline, What Sharia Law is All About. I'll read a couple of quotes from that.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote, it is important that we understand what is meant by Sharia law. Islamic law is about God's law, and it is not that far from what we read in the Declaration of Independence about the laws of nature and nature's God. At the core of Sharia law are God's commandments revealed in the Old Testament and revised in the New Testament and the Quran. The principles behind American secular law are similar to Sharia law, that we protect life, liberty, and property, that we provide for the common welfare, that we maintain a certain amount of modesty. What Muslims want is to ensure that their secular laws are not in conflict with the Quran or the Hadith, the sayings of Muhammad. Where there is a conflict, it is not with Sharia law itself, but more often with the way the penal code is sometimes applied, like you were just saying. Some aspects of this penal code and its laws pertaining to women flow out of the cultural context. So rather than fear Sharia law, we should understand what it actually is. Then we can encourage Muslim countries to make the changes that achieve the essence of fairness and justice that are at the root of Islam. So again, it's a very, very benign, almost hands-off interpretation of Sharia law. The main idea behind that seems to be that Sharia law is being misinterpreted by the rulers like the Taliban. Is that your point?
Yes, exactly, because they are focusing on the penal code punishments and they're not focusing on the six major guiding principles of Sharia, which is to safeguard life, to safeguard religion, and that means safeguarding religion of every person, every believing person. So even people who, you know, believe in other faiths, safeguard your life, your family, safeguard your wealth, safeguard your sanity or your intellect, and safeguard your dignity. This is what Imam Faisal is trying to do, is to take us away from the slogan of the extremists to the substance of what Sharia really is. And this is the work he has dedicated himself to doing. And I think if this project if he's able to go around and show that if we govern in accordance with these principles, and he's not talking about governing in the United States because these principles already exist in the U.S.
So last thing, your husband has been an imam in Tribeca and led services in Tribeca for 27 years, but in a smaller way. Why grow the organization now and in a way that is specifically linked to the World Trade Center site, in fact, uses some of the property that was damaged in the 9/11 attacks? You could have anticipated the reaction that you're getting, that it appears to throw Islam in the face of people who associate it with 9/11.
Yes, it's most unfortunate that is how it has been framed. But we are going from a community, a religious community, that is going from a place of worship to a place of service. It's important for us to serve the larger community as other faith traditions have evolved from being a community that revolves around places of worship to revolving around places of, you know, community centers like the JCC, the YMCA.
But why there?
Well, that's where the building was. where there was no deliberate attempt to be so close. We were already 12 blocks away. We just happened to move 10 blocks over. And Soho Properties acquired the property. It was available, and they worked very hard for over 5 years to acquire the property. And the intent has been misconstrued, unfortunately. What we want to tell people is that Muslims want to be part of the rebuilding of Lower Manhattan. We're Americans, we're Muslims, we're New Yorkers. And we want to be part of the rebuilding of this Lower Manhattan, because it's our city as much as it is anyone else's, and it's our responsibility.
So let me understand. Are you saying that Muslims want to be a part of rebuilding the area attacked on 9/11, and that's specifically why you went for this property? Or did I understand you before that to say you were just looking for a larger property in your area and in Tribeca, and this was the one you were able to find where you could build 13 stories, and it just happens to be there?
Well, we want to serve our community. And because the property happened to be in close proximity, and it was the right kind of property in terms of its zoning, and you know, Brian, in New York City, you don't have that many options to find the right kind of building. And this is a building that is perfectly zoned for the type of activities that we want to do. And it's important that, you know, we Muslims who live in that area or who have worshipped in that area want to be part of the rebuilding of it. Whether it was 2 blocks away or it was 10 blocks away, we all got impacted by 9/11. And we have, felt the impact of 9/11 more than most other people have, because people who did this act professed that they were part of our faith. So we have been hit from two sides. It's important for us to be engaged and bring hope and hope to this area, and you know, take us away from the ashes of 9/11 and build something that is hopeful and that serves the larger community.
Daisy Khan, executive director and co-founder of the American Society for Muslim Advancement. She is the wife of Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf and partner with him in the plan to develop the cultural center near the World Trade Center site. Thank you so much for coming on with us again.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, virtual volunteering, how to make a difference without leaving your PC.